You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Always good when you come in with the New York guys.
I was surprised to hear you know the lyrics.
Man. Cypress Hill? Oh, definitely not Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill, Run DMC, Beastie Boys, know that stuff.
Do you
Jay-Z?
Do you know any of the mumble rappers?
What?
The mumble rappers, the today's rap style, I guess you could say.
What the hell is a mumble?
That's where you like you really can't understand what they're
this
saying.
Is one of those
today's rap, essentially.
Patrick, you're frickin' old.
Conversations, isn't it? What is a mumble rapper?
It's just you know how so you know how some rap like especially the old rap. You could understand every word they were saying. There's been a, like, maybe the last 5 years, maybe longer, there's been a trend of mumble rap where, like, rappers, you can't really understand what they're saying. They kind of just, like, it's hard to explain, but it's not the same as it used to be. It's garbage, really.
Why the hell would anybody listen to that?
Well, it's what the kids like, I guess. That was pretty much spot on.
Why the hell would anybody listen to that? All right, late hitters, how many of you are into mumble rap? Can somebody give me an example of a mumble rap song? What the hell is mumble rap?
If I can find a clean version, I'll pull something up for you.
Mumbles. How can it be a dirty version if you can't even understand it? You say mumble rap, and I'm like, so wait, so like basically it's like rap, but it features Boomhauer. Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang, bang, bang, bang. Basically, yeah.
Give me a beer. Bang, 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 bang. Give me a beer. Like, how does that work? I had never heard the term mumble rap before. Is that a thing? Where is Lamont? Lamont would be able to tell me if that's a thing. I don't.
Somebody said Future. Is Future? I don't know if Future is mumble rap. I think maybe
Future,
he is.
Like a rapper, or is he just a name?
Well, he's a
rapper.
Because
I know there's a lot of little Futures out there, but like I've never. I don't know an actual song.
He does have a lot of little Futures.
Who the hell? I know. He's like a ghost name. Okay.
For white people like me who are old Generation X,
I don't know a Future song. I know that there is somebody whose name is Future who apparently has like 10 kids with 10 different women. He's gone like the Antonio Cromartie route. Who the hell is Future? Like, what is he from? What group was he in that I'm supposed to know who he is?
I think, I don't know if Future was in a group, was he? I know they have the Migos. That's another big mumble rap group type.
Apparently, he is a mumbler. I'm looking at his wiki page. Mumble-influenced vocal range. Modern trap music. What the hell is trap music?
Trap music is the music you listen to when you want to feel like you're selling drugs or committing crimes or, you know, whatever.
So a trap house.
Yeah, basically, it's music that would come from a trap house, yeah.
So...
Watch for 5-0, watch for 5-0. Like, that's the lyrics?
I mean, like, how does that work? I mean,
you talk about...
Who want this bag of weed, watch for 5-0.
Basically, yeah.
I don't... Man.
It's a lot of guys just talking a lot of stuff. Trying to create an image to sell, you know.
And to think, you know, back in the day, people were worried about violence in rap. Now we can't even understand what the hell they're saying. How come there's, like, no Tipper Gore saying, well, if you play the mumble rap record backwards, it has satanic messages in it? Where's, like, the, what is it, the PMRC? Tipper Gore trying to put labels on. Remember, she put labels. She's the one who got all the labels put on. Parental advisories, labels. So do we have, like, a new label? Promotes drug use, is anti-law enforcement, If they came up with that label and they started slapping on stuff, I bet it would cause sales to go through the roof.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Promotes drug use, anti-law enforcement, sales, times 10.
It's a fantasy world for people to enjoy in their music, you know? I understand it. Like, some, you know, if have you ever just had a moment where you wanted to feel, like, cool? So you put on whatever rap song, you know, like, people do it all the time. That's why rap, specifically, is, like, it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't matter if it's mumble rap, whatever. It's going to be the top selling no matter what. Like, it's going to be.
All right. So maybe I'm just old and I don't understand that. Apparently, he also doesn't pay child support.
Who, Future?
How much money do you have to not pay child support? But I guess there's like a lot of little Futures. Are they all going to be Mumblers too? Isn't Mumble the Penguin?
I have no idea.
In Happy Feet? Isn't his name Mumble? He can't sing, he can only dance?
I don't know. I've never seen Happy Feet.
You never saw Happy Feet?
No.
Got Stevie Wonder songs in Happy Feet. Soundtrack to that is actually really good.
I like Stevie.
Robin Williams is in Happy Feet.
Robin Williams is in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how old the movie is.
No, but by the time his kids get old enough to be doing music, there'll be a new wave of something. It won't be Mumble anymore. It'll be like, you know, random noises or something. I don't know.
It'll be Jeremy Branham take rap.
Oh, no. No, that can't be a
thing.
It'd
be so bad, it's good.
Ugh.
I mean, look, you know you're doing it right when Jake and Cody say your takes suck. You know you're doing it right. I'm picking on Jeremy a little. Here's the thing. I happen to like Jeremy. I think Jeremy is a great guy. I love Jeremy. Terrific dude. I pick on him a little bit. He picks on me a little bit. The difference is I'm usually right. When it comes to like the takes that I have versus his, like I'm always right. But I won't hold that against him. Somebody's got to be wrong. In his case, it's him. It's okay.
In most cases, it's him. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he works with Joel and, well, overwhelming majority of the time, Joel's right. See, it's the older guys. We know. We've lived some life. We've seen some things.
Yeah, but you can't just agree with everything either. You gotta make it interesting and have a counterpoint.
Yeah, but it helps if that counterpoint has some logic to it.
Well, yeah.
I think Jeremy just trolls people. I'm convinced
I don't know that about
he that. Doesn't actually really believe the things that he says. He's just trolling.
I don't know about that. I think he believes it.
Like when he said he is now a huge Cal McNair fan because Cal McNair was, quote, wearing shorts like a young person would wear. I mean, if that's all it takes.
Well, that's not a great take, but, I mean, ugh.
Hey, like I said, you know, I can't imagine he really believes that. I got to think that is, you know, Troll So Hard University coming into play.
He's probably trying to troll Joel a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
The first time he said that, like, remember the old cartoons where, like, the character's eyes would, like, pop out, like, six times? That was Joel. The jaw hits the ground. The eyes pop out. Oh, I'm a fan of Cal McNair now. I liked his shorts. Joel's face was little, like, straight out of, like, an Acme cartoon. Like, wah! What if his head was going to explode? All the hair he got back from Dr. Linville was about to all be gone in 1 second. And, you know, Doc Linville did a lot of work to help Joel look better. It was all going to be gone in a second. Because Jeremy. I think Joel aged 15 years in that, like, one segment. And, you know, Jeremy just sits there with that smug look on his face like, what? I like his shorts. Like, what? I got to have one show with Branham and Gallant. Put those two together. Because that's like, they're about the same age. They both like to troll the audience. They both think up some interesting things. I want to see Jeremy and Paul together for just one show.
Just Jeremy and Paul?
Just Jeremy and Paul for one show so that they can hit each other with all their troll takes at the same time.
BK likes to troll a lot, too.
But BK's trolling is like a different style of troll.
You mean it's funny?
I didn't say that. But I do think BK is funny.
I do too. But I always actually had this conversation before. I had told Andrew that I thought BK and Paul would be the show that I'd want to see.
I'd like to see a show with them also. But I want to see Jeremy and Paul because I know Paul likes to troll the audience. And Jeremy likes to troll the audience. So, like, can they hyper troll? Will they troll each other and the audience? So I want to see how much trolling they can actually do. All right, we'll get back to because I keep getting sidetracked today. I don't know what's up with me. I keep getting sidetracked today. We'll get back to the free agent pitchers. First, we're going to put money in your pocket because Money Plays with Michael Avlin from Sports Map Elite is next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Here comes the money!
Here we go!
Money talk!
Here comes the money!
It's time for Money Plays, brought to you in partnership with Sports Map Elite. Now get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
All right, it's time for Money Plays. This is the part of the show where we have one of our buddies from Sports Map Elite come on and tell you how to make some money. Joining us tonight, MMA handicapper for Sports Map Elite is our buddy, Michael Ablin. What's going on, Michael? How are you? Michael? Where's Michael? I see he's on the board, like, but he can't hear me or I can't hear him?
I can hear you, Kathy.
Ah, there you are. So here's what's happening. I couldn't hear you. And then my producer, John, is like talking into the mic to me and I can't hear him. It's like, what the hell is going on around here? But now you're back. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good to be back talking to you. You know, your show has brought us some good luck. The plays we've been giving out have been cashing, so we're hoping to continue the positive trend tonight.
That is the whole point of this. Ching, ching, bring the money. So everybody get ready, get out your pen and paper, open up the notepad on your phone, open up your sports wagering app on your mobile device, and get ready because Michael's going to give you the goods. UFC Fight Night coming up on Saturday, and it's headlined by the ladies. Let me ask you, when you see the cards are headlined by the ladies, more interested or less interested?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
When you see the card is headlined by the ladies, are you more interested in the card or less interested in the card?
I mean, it depends on who's fighting, you know. I mean, in this case, we got Holly Holmes. She's a staple. I mean, who can forget the head kick knockout of Ronda Rousey? You know, she's a big name. So I get a little excited. But, I mean, this card in general this weekend doesn't have a lot of name value, I would say. But there's some good fights on here delivering. Who can complain? We got fights on Saturday night, and we're looking to make some money, right?
You know, a long time ago, when UFC first started getting involved with women's fights, I wasn't into it. Like, I wasn't into, I don't want to watch two women beat the hell out of each other. Because, I don't know, I guess I looked at it as, like, these are, like, women that you, like, just women you'd see in the street, like, normal people. But they're fighting and beating the snot out of each other. After watching, I don't know, probably 8-10 women's fights, the first couple of fights I was a little uncomfortable with it. The more I watched, I kind of, like, my viewpoint changed from they're women who were fighting to they are athletes who were fighting. And the part of that is their skill level. You come to respect their skill level, their preparation, how hard they work. And as you, like, that part of your mentality changes. You stop looking at them as, oh, well, this is a guy, this is a girl. It's like, this is just an athlete. She's a competitor. She's a fighter. And you respect her craft. And that's really how it changed for me is I learned to appreciate their craft. And now when the women are on, I love watching women's fights. And Holly Holm's a big part of the reason why I like watching women's fights. I mean, Holly Holm, Chris Cyborg, Jessica Andrade. Jessica Andrade was one of the first female fighters that, you know, I got to see her. And she was just, like, relentless. And I just appreciated her for how hard she worked and how hard she fought. And, like, those are kind of, like, some of the women who I just – they really kind of changed my outlook on how I looked at women's fights. And, like, I don't look at it as, like, it's not a novelty. It's not a sideshow. These are women who really know how to – like, they break their ass. They train their asses off. They're incredibly skilled. And they're tremendous athletes. So Holly Holm's going to get in the cage with Ketlin Vieira. Vieira's had 14 fights. I can't tell you I've ever seen her fight, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is tough. You talk about high-level athletes. We got to remember that, you know, MMA as a sport, it's still relatively new and still developing. And unfortunately, we don't have too many high-level women athletes competing at the UFC level. I mean, some of those that you mentioned, Holly Holm, Jessica Andrade, Amanda Nunes, Chris Cyborg, those are all great examples. I wouldn't say Ketlin Vieira falls into there. So, you know, when we're looking at this matchup, and I'm breaking it down on tape, I'm actually surprised Holly Holm is only a minus 250 favorite. She opened up minus 210. It got steamed a little bit to minus 250, but frankly, she's just better everywhere. She's a better striker. She's a better boxer. She's a better in the clinch, and probably in the grappling exchange. I mean, Vieira's a little plodding, a little low volume, and I honestly struggle to see why she's in a main event slot with Holly Holm, aside from the fact that Holly Holm needs a warm body to fight.
If she's a plotter, and she can't get Holly Holm down, she's going to eat a lot of fists.
Yeah, and Holm's going to outland her 2-3-1 relatively easy. She should be able to stick to the outside with her kickboxing approach, use her, you know, side kick, front kicks, and should really just dictate the pace of the fight. The only concern, if there was one in this matchup, would just be that Holly Holm is 40. She's approaching the end of her career, but we just saw her perform at the highest level against Irene Aldana, who I would consider to be significantly better than Ketlin Vieira, and she made it look easy. So 40 is not really that age, that big of a concern for me. I think she walks the park with Vieira, but you know, this is all about money plays. This is all about getting some value. And there's a line out there right now. Holly Holm in rounds 4, 5, or by decision at minus 145. And that's something that I personally loaded up on because I think that, you know, Vieira is at least a little bit durable at her best. So she probably gets extended into the later rounds. Holly Holm's more known as that, like, kickboxing point style of fighting. So if she does put her away, it's likely later. And at minus 145, you're getting a significant discount off that minus 250 price. So I really like that. And I mean, if you're the type of person who's going to lay the juice, I would probably honestly back Holm up to minus 300.
So Vieira is nowhere near as skilled as Holm, but she's a game fighter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's MMA. There's always the banana peel. What if Holm gets in there and slips on the banana peel and, you know, blows out her knee? We just saw it last week, actually, with Rakic. He was arguably winning the fight, and he tore his ACL, ended up getting knocked out. So, I mean, it's always a possibility, but we don't bet on those unpredictable events. We take what we know.
So I'm Michael Avalon from Sports Map, Elite MMA Handicapper, with us on the HRMP guest line. Michael, you mentioned, you know, Holly Holm is, you know, she's 40. This is kind of a, like a tune-up fight for her. What is next for Holly Holm? I mean, assuming she wins this fight, what is next for her? You know, like you said, she is kind of at the longer end of her career. Where does she, I mean, she's doesn't seem to be in the title picture. What is Holly Holm in UFC right now?
Yeah, I mean, she is probably going to fall a little bit into that gatekeeper role, specifically probably for top five talent. So if we get a new upcomer coming in the UFC and they look really good, and we have to get a feeler of are they worth challenging for the title, they're probably going to get the Holly Holm test. That's what I would kind of say. Personally, I know that Holm had some lingering injuries last year, and that's why she hasn't fought in a little while. So I'm not quite sure what the injury was or why she was out. But, you know, it's really up to Holm. If she wants to keep fighting and kind of play that gatekeeper role, I see it. I don't really think she's going to be challenging for a title. But who knows? You know, we've seen crazier things happen. We've seen Glover Teixeira win the championship belt at age 40. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
All right, Michael, the co-main event on this is a welterweight fight, Santiago Ponzinibbio and Michael Pereira. I don't know that fans know. I mean, both of these guys have had a ton of fights. But, you know, Ponzinibbio is not a guy that I think I've seen fight anytime recently. So what can you tell us about this fight? I mean, it looks like it's a fairly, like the lines on this fight are pretty close. You know, Pereira's minus 135. And Ponzinibbio is plus 115. It seems like it's a relatively well-matched fight. Where do you see value in this?
Yeah, I see value on Ponzinibbio. So, I mean, this is going to be an entertaining fight, to say the least. I mean, we have Michel Pereira. If you don't know, he has a very flashy style. So he likes to stay on the outside. He'll do you know, Superman punches off the cage wall. He'll do backflips in the cage. He'll do crazy stuff like that. And Ponzinibbio only knows one direction, and that's forward. So he's going to come straight forward. He's going to have just really kind of boxing type approach. So mainly just his hands, not too many kicks. Where Pereira is going to look to kind of stay on the outside. And so, you know, interesting enough, Ponzinibbio, he was looking really, really solid earlier on in his career, possible title contender, or challenger, I should say. And then he blew out both his knees. And so he had to take off some time and recover from those injuries. He came back, and his first fight back, they threw him right to the wolves in top 10 challenging, and he wasn't ready for it. He's a little, you know, just a little bit of ring rust, if you will, got knocked out in the first round. He came back in his next two fights, and they were competitive, but the reason why I see value on Ponzinibbio, and I'm not saying to go out to bet your bankroll and say that Ponzinibbio is going to, you know, walk with this fight, because as the odds indicate, this is a close fight. But how I see it happening, I see Ponzinibbio, he's going to have the forward pressure. Michel Pereira is going to look to stay on the outside, land some heavy shots down the middle, some front kicks, but we've seen kind of in his last couple of fights that Michel Pereira, when he's not doing well, it's because he's being pressured. And that's exactly what Ponzinibbio is going to do. He's going to walk him down with his, you know, heavy hands boxing. He's going to back him up on the cage, and he's going to throw. And Michel Pereira is going to throw back. And in those wild exchanges, it's probably going to come down to who has the better chin. And Michel Pereira doesn't really take damage too well at times. He is strong. He's physical. He can totally knock Ponzinibbio out. But, I mean, when you're giving me dog odds on Ponzinibbio, that kind of suggests to me that it warrants a play, because this is a 50-50 fight. Either guy could come out top, but the one who's going to be giving the forward pressure is going to be the one who's probably winning the minutes of this fight. And I like to back my money on the individual who's going to be winning the minutes of the fight. Could also see a late TKO.
Talking with Michael Oblin from Sports Map Elite. Now, I know when we talked earlier, you said you had a couple of dog plays that you liked here. Who are the dog plays that you like on this fight card?
Yeah, there's two dogs on the card that I'm making some small plays on. And for the exact same reason. So dog number one can get around plus 115 and 120 is Pollyanna Viana. She's facing Tabitha Ricci this weekend. And basically, let me just say the other dog as well. The other dog is Chase Hooper. Chase Hooper can get around plus 160 to 165 right now. And the reason why I like both of these underdog shots this card is because their opponent is going to give them the fight that they want. So both Pollyanna Viana and Chase Hooper are jiu-jitsu practitioners. They're going to look to get this fight to the ground, and they're going to look to submit you. And in both of these contests, their opponent is going to look to probably take them down and, well, you know, welcome them on the mat. And especially for Pollyanna Viana, you know, I actually think Pollyanna Viana is the better striker than Tabitha Ricci. She utilizes her knees really well, her kicks and the clinch. And when she does get to the ground, she is just vicious. I'm not sure if people are familiar with Juliana Pena, who just upset Amanda Nunes, but they kind of have that same similar style on the ground where even if they're on their back, they are just annoying and relentless. They're throwing elbows. They're throwing short little fist shots and not really an attempt to knock you out from their back, but to set up their submission. So as you're getting frustrated from all these tiny shots getting hit in the face, you leave your arm exposed. They're able to snatch it up from an arm bar or what have you. So I like Pollyanna Viana. She also has the size advantage in this fight, believe it or not. Tabitha Ricci, I think, is like 5 foot tall, 5 foot one. And she has the strength advantage. So she is going to be able to take Pollyanna Viana down. But like I said earlier, that's exactly where Pollyanna wants to be. She doesn't train her takedown defense for that reason. She wants you to take her to the ground, just kind of similar to what we saw with Charles Oliveira. You know, these jiu-jitsu practitioners who are really good in that field, they're wild on the feet because they don't care if you take them down. They want you to take them down. And that's kind of what I see here with Pollyanna Viana. I also see that similarly with Chase Hooper. Chase Hooper is a guy who, you know, he will do Minari rolls to try to get you down. He will jump guard to try to get you in his guard. And as soon as it hits the mat, he's throwing the mat. He's throwing up submissions from his back, constantly moving. He's trying to get you back. And Felipe Flores is very similar to Tabitha Ricci in that she's going to have the forward pressure, and she's going to try to take you down and get on top. And in both of these fights, it's just, you know, that's playing into their game. And you're going to play into their strengths. And they're underdogs. Sign me up.
He's Michael Ablin, MMA handicapper with Sports Map Elite. Follow him on Twitter at MAblan36. That's MABLAN36. Michael, always appreciate your time, man. Great plays. And I'll play a little money down on the plays that you've given us and look to make some more money. Because so far, every time you come in, I make money. And I like that. I like making money. Our listeners enjoy making money. So if they're listening to your plays, they've been making money lately too. Appreciate you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Patrick. Have a good night.
Hi, I'm Michael Ablin, Sports Map Elite on the HRNP guest line. When we come back, we're giving away more tickets for the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. But first, got to tell you about our friends at MyBookie. Now, look, some people think 162 games of baseball is a grind. Well, let me tell you, some people are commies, okay? Red-blooded, patriotic Americans, they love baseball. And that's 162 games of watching baseball and making money with MyBookie. All you commies, stay the hell out. But for you good, patriotic, red-blooded Americans who love baseball, MyBookie has got all the run lines, all the money lines, every prop. Nobody gives you more chances to win on all 162 games per team than MyBookie.ag. And it's easy to get started. Doesn't matter if you're new or if you've been there before. You get a bonus when you deposit. All you got to do, go to MyBookie.ag, click bonuses, enter promo code BET975, and you get a bonus. That's right. Oprah Winfrey, you get a bonus, you get a bonus, everybody gets a bonus. Whether you're new, whether you're old and reloading, whether you're putting in for the first time, you're getting a bonus with Bet975 at MyBookie. So you can now love baseball even more than you already love baseball, because now you're going to watch baseball and get money. And if watching baseball and getting money isn't good enough for you, you can watch baseball and watch playoff basketball and get money. Watch baseball and playoff basketball and MMA and get money. Watch baseball, playoff basketball, MMA, soccer, golf, and every other sport and get money. Sign up or reload. Use promo code BET975. BET975. Get your MyBookie bonus so you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, time for more freebies. Giving away another four-pack for the Sugarland Space Cowboys tomorrow night. Constellation Field in Sugarland against the Choklahoma City Dodgers. Call number 4-713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Caller number 4 gets a four-pack for tomorrow night, the Space Cowboys and Choklahoma City. Great time to go catch a game. So, caller 4 gets a four-pack of tickets to see the Space Cowboys. And if you haven't been to a game at Constellation Field, you haven't been to a game in a while at Constellation Field, it's going to look a little different. Astros have put a pretty good amount of money into Constellation Field. So it's a little bit different, but it's really cool. All right, minute here for Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Science and Snoring. You guys know, man, I've been talking about Dr. Ben for 3 years, man. Dr. Ben is awesome. Dr. Ben, veteran, you know, served his country, now serves all of us by taking care of us. When I met Dr. Ben 3 years ago, he was the first doctor that ever asked me certain questions about why I would always get sinus infections. You guys have heard me tell you, I would basically have a sinus infection every month. I wouldn't even go to the doctor. I'd just call the doctor's office, say, "Hi, I have a sinus infection and I need antibiotics." They would send the antibiotics to the pharmacy, and I just go pick them up. They didn't even need to see me because they knew I got one every other month. Clock, train was never late. Dr. Ben's the only one that wanted to find out why I kept getting them. Like, not normal to get a sinus infection every other month. And it played a part in some other issues that I dealt with. Right? I was a terrible snorer. My kids called me the chainsaw. I snored so loud that in the house, doors and windows closed, they could hear me outside. The snoring led to sleep apnea, blocked airways, then you stop breathing, you know, then you restart breathing with that, you know, you scare the hell out of your wife because all of a sudden your body like kick starts again. I was given a CPAP machine many, many years ago, but I couldn't use, like, I couldn't sleep with it. And I didn't understand the dangers of sleep apnea. So I just said, the hell with it, I'm not going to use it, and let my sleep apnea be untreated, and even forgot about it altogether. But talking to Dr. Ben, it came up. And we just discussed everything that I dealt with and, you know, different doctors I'd seen and, you know, different ways they wanted to handle things. So I had a procedure with Dr. Ben. They removed staph infection from my sinuses, which is why it kept coming back. I had staph infection in my sinus. The infection did a lot of damage inside, you know, the tissues of my sinus cavity. So they did a balloon sinuplasty to fix the damaged tissue and open up my airways so I could breathe better. That eliminated the snoring. And the combination of which, and then they did a septoplasty. Apparently, I had a deviated septum. I didn't even know I had a deviated septum. I had one. They fixed that too. And now, well, I haven't had a sinus infection in 3 years. I can't remember the last time I didn't have a sinus infection for 1 year, let alone three. I don't snore anymore. Doc had me download an app called Snorlab to listen to me while I sleep. I don't snore anymore. I also no longer have sleep apnea. I don't have that kickstart. I don't stop breathing and then have that massive loud kickstart because the Snorlab would catch it. I don't have any of that. I don't make any noise when I sleep. Now I sleep like a baby. So if you deal with any of these things, if you have sinus issues, if you are a snorer, if you have sleep apnea, and either you hate the CPAP machine, you want to get rid of it, or the CPAP machine didn't work for you, it wasn't comfortable, you couldn't sleep with it on, well, you need to go see Dr. Ben. Like, stop taking risks and get back to sleeping well and healthy. I used to wake up more tired than when I went to bed. If you're dealing with untreated sleep apnea, you probably feel the same way. Stop feeling like that. Go see Dr. Ben Salenta. Give him a call. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Go to TexasScienceAndSnoring.com. TexasScienceAndSnoring.com. Make an appointment to go see Dr. Ben. Most major medicals accepted. He took care of me. He's taking care of at least a dozen late hitters. He's taking care of other people who listen throughout the day. Dr. Ben is awesome, and you're going to love talking to him because, like I said, he's a veteran and he loves sports. So, cool dude. He's going to help you sleep the way you're supposed to sleep so you get the rest and feel good in the morning like you're supposed to. TexasScienceAndSnoring.com. All right, so I posed this question earlier of the generational bat versus the serviceable pitcher. Because as of right now, I don't see an avenue to a big-time starting pitcher being available at the deadline yet. Now, maybe that changes. But I don't know that that is going to manifest itself. So, going to give you some examples of pitchers who are available. And I don't know that there are any pitchers available at the deadline that are so good that I would give up my shot at Juan Soto to get that pitcher. We'll talk about it next.
This is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So the Celtics are stomping a mud hole in the Miami Heat right now. It's 70-45 at the half.
Damn!
Now, the Heat actually got out to an 18-10 lead. And the Celtics from that point outscored them 60-27 the rest of the way. Now, if you're wondering, well, holy hell, that's a lot. Usually a team scores 35 in a quarter. That's like their high quarter. Well, Boston scored 35 in the first quarter and 35 again in the second quarter. Jason Tatum's got 20 points. He's 7 of 10. Jaylen Brown's got 15. He's 5 of 7. Grant Williams has 12. He's 4 of 5. Those three guys are a combined 8 of 10. From three. Like, hello. They are bombing away.
Didn't they start hot in game one, too, though, and then fall off and end up losing it in the second half?
Yeah, not like that.
No, not like that. But Jason Tatum had a great first half in game one and then didn't do well down the stretch. I just may be a little too soon to start thinking the Celtics have got something here.
Well, for tonight, I think they've got something.
For tonight, yeah.
I don't imagine the way the Celtics play defense that they're giving up a 25-point lead at the half. That's a holy hell lead. And the Heat, meanwhile, Jimmy Butler is 5 of 10. He's got 13 points. Tyler Hero's got 7 points. He's 3 of 7. Jimmy Butler's the only Heat player in double figures. Yeah, it looks like this series is going to be 1-1. Now, told you earlier about, you know, do you go with the generational bat or the serviceable pitcher? I say this because one of the better pitchers on the market or expected to be on the market this year is Frankie Montas, and I see zero chance the Oakland A's are trading Frankie Montas to the Astros. Like, absolute zero freaking chance. Maybe the guy who's the best pitcher on the market might be Luis Castillo of the Reds. Now, he's had some hot and cold spots. Last year he got off to a lousy start, but then he was great down the stretch. You know, he after the All-Star break, he pitched to a 3.18 ERA. And he started off this year a little slow. He was on the injured list. Came back, fastballs about 2.5 miles per hour slow. But he's also a guy who historically picks up velocity as the season goes on and pitches better as the season goes on. And with the Reds being absolutely hideous, I could see Castillo on the market. Talamail could be on the market. They're going to have two pitchers on the market. John Means probably on the market in Baltimore. Baltimore stinks. Baltimore is like perpetually rebuilding. Last year he had a 3.62 ERA and a 1.03 whip. Now, I don't know that he's an Astros type of pitcher. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. He's a guy who like knows how to pitch. Like Dallas Keuchel, with the exception of 1 year, never had overpowering stuff. He just knew how to pitch. He gets you to, you know, make soft contact, chase bad pitches, turnover change. Means is a lefty who just, he's like a crafty left-handed pitcher who gets you to chase, who induces soft contact, who just knows how to, knows his craft. And, you know, will give you innings. Other guys that might be available, Germán Márquez. Now, Germán Márquez is a pretty good pitcher whose numbers would look a lot better if he didn't pitch half his games in Coors Field. His home road splits are pretty big. He wound up with a 4.40 ERA last year, but his ERA on the road was in the low threes. You get him out of Coors, which, look, every pitcher you'd love to get out of Coors. But he's a guy who could probably be a middle-of-the-rotation starter if you got him out of Coors Field. Then we get into the guys who could help, but wow, they're getting paid a lot of money. I would think if he was open to it, Madison Bumgarner would be available. The D-backs stink. And he's pitching pretty well this year. He's also owed $60 million through the end of 2024. And the only way anybody's taking him is if the D-backs are eating a chunk of money. He's also like Mr. Postseason Pitcher. So that's a, can you get him for the right price? Is Patrick Corbin a guy, can you get him for the right price? Because a couple of years ago, this guy was helping the Nationals to a World Series win over the Astros. But last year, he had an ERA close to 6. And he's owed even more money. But the Nationals, who backloaded this contract and are probably trying to get rid of people, probably would eat some money to get rid of Corbin if you think you can get him right. I've even seen the idea that Steven Strasburg, you know, if he can show he's healthy and pitching well, might be available. Now, he's another guy. He's owed $1 zillion. But if they're willing to eat half the money and you don't have to give up much to get him, would you take the flyer on him? You know, the problem is none of those guys that we've talked about, none of those guys are aces. At best, they're third starters, and some of them are fifth starters. You know, the only even Louis Castillo is probably a two at best. I would not give up Hunter Brown for any of those guys. No way in hell would I give up Hunter Brown. I'd give up Hunter Brown to get Juan Soto. Not to mention, if you got Juan Soto, do you think Minute Maid would be bounced with 40,000 every night?
Because I kind of think it would.
Don't know if that deal would ever happen, but if the Nationals are going to shop him, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, and then pay his ass. Because that dude's worth it. Does it for us for tonight. Thanks to Sam Collins Jr. from The Athletic, Michael Avalon from Sports Map Elite, Big Johnny B on the other side of the glass. Coming up next, it's two-time Hall of Famer Booker T. It's Brad Gilmore's The Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5. See you tomorrow night. H-Town!
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.